Thank you so very much. God is, wow. Worship was wonderful, and it's so much fun to worship God because He is so in love with us. This morning, I'm going to be covering Psalms 23, and I've actually got it in several different translations. I know the Bible app I have on my phone has 75 translations. I did not go through 75 translations, but I must say that I have read this psalm in at least 15. And I love the Word of God because when you get into these different translations, it opens up a little bit more, a little deeper, a little different direction. It's like, I know, I read this, so I know it all, and no. I read this, and I have so much more I need to learn. So this morning, as we go through the 23rd Psalm, I'm going to share with you what God's been sharing with me. So we're going to start out in the modern English version of Psalms. It's, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As I get into this, we're going to be covering a lot of single words and phrases that God is highlighting to me. And I've shared with some people that I'm preaching to myself this morning because I need to hear this. If you guys want to tag along, by all means, receive what God's pouring into you. But, I mean, I'm a work in progress, and He's working on me right now. I don't want to read a whole awful lot, but I am going to go with Psalms 23 in the message version. "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to Your word, You let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid when You walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life." So this morning, I'm going to be actually using the King James Version in my message. And we're going to go, I'm going to read just a scripture at a time, but we're going to break it down. First verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The very first word that we need to identify is Lord. Who's Lord? What is the psalmist talking about? Who's he talking about? And the Lord is Jesus Christ. It's Savior. We, I believe, all here know Jesus as Savior, and that's who the psalmist David is talking about. One thing I want to emphasize, too, as I'm reading this, God gave us imagination. Let's use it. Visualize what he's saying. And every scripture has a picture. It might be different, you know, from this one to this one to this one. That's okay. But God wants us to take and use our imagination to see the beauty that he's put in his words and see the glory that's there for us to participate with. So the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, is my shepherd. My shepherd. He's being personal. And so what's a shepherd? Shepherd, as we know, and not many people around here, 10 sheep. I never have. But I was at the fair this week and saw a number of sheep and goats there. So, you know, hey, you know, you pet them, they're soft, it's fun. But Jesus is called the shepherd. And it's his job to take and lead us, the sheep. And boy, do we need to be led. There's times that, you know, we get a little off path. Over here, Mike. Back over here. You know, he brings me back over, keeps me in line. If there's a predator that comes out, he's there to take care of us. He is the good shepherd. And the last phrase of that first verse is, I shall not want. And that's one thing that God highlighted to me quite a while back, and I've shared with Pastor Kurt and a couple others. I wanted to do a little bit of teaching on this on Facebook, and it didn't come together. And then lo and behold, Pastor Steph about 2 months ago asked me, would I be available to preach today? Check, and yes, I was available. And I knew, it was like I didn't even have to do much praying. I've done a lot of praying about it, but I didn't have to do much praying as what's the topic? Because the topic was the 23rd Psalm. But oh my golly, whenever that topic come up, he took me into places I wasn't expecting. I shall not want is pretty simple. It means that if I have a need, I shouldn't. I don't want. Why? Because he's supplying all my needs. I'm going to get into a little bit of prosperity on this, and I'm not apologetic about it because my God created this entire world, so he owns it. So is he poor? Is he a pauper? His sons and daughters shouldn't be either. We should be as blessed as him. I should not have any wants. Every need met, every need supplied, and as a matter of fact, more than enough that I have to give to others, that others may receive and others may also encounter that wonderful Savior that we have already encountered. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And the phrase, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So what's he saying there? He's taking me to a place, he's taking you. Let's be inclusive here. He's taking each and every one of us to a place that is nice. Okay? To me, and when I picture a green pasture, I don't see thorns. I don't see rocks. I mean, to me, a green pasture is just nice. It's lush. It's actually kind of peaceful. I mean, you can take a nice stroll, say, so to speak, through the park. You're going, taking a stroll through the green pastures because it's calming. It's a great place. And literally, I can lie down and I can take a nap. I mean, out and about for the day and come across this lush green pasture and thought, you know what? I'm going to chill out and take a break for a bit. So lie down and rest in His presence. If He's my shepherd, He's right there with me in His presence. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's use your imagination for a moment. You see, you're in the green pastures. So now there's this pool of water. It's calm. There's times that my wife and I, we used to travel down to Virginia and different places. We like waterfalls. Well, with a waterfall, that's not a calm pool. I mean, that's some moving water. Smaller, but I've been to Niagara Falls, so that's the biggest one I've ever experienced. And that's a lot of moving water. And actually below the Niagara Falls, I forget what they call it, but there's a place on down, like about quarter of a mile, half a mile, however, below that you can get down an elevator and there's a boardwalk and you're out and it's like there's the rapids coming down from the falls. And that kind of freaked me out the first time I saw it, because the boardwalk, obviously it was higher than the water, but it was so rough and so massive moving that it's like, you get out there too close, man, you're history. But God takes us to still waters. We're in the green pastures, and in the calming of this pool, if I'm thirsty, there's cool water. I can drink to my fill. Then I can kick back and enjoy His presence again, because He's always with me. He's there. In verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Restoration. God is a God of restoration. We as people, we have had some encounters with life that isn't so pleasant. But God in His, I like to use it this way, in God in His extravagant love and His mercy restores me. He comes and He brings peace that words don't even describe, but the peace and the calm that He brings is absolutely the tops. I mean, is like God extravagant? He is. He restores my soul. He brings peace to me in the harshest of situations. He lets me know that, hey, hold on to my hand, Mike. I've got you. And I'm not letting go. So my position is, thank you. I'm not letting go either. We have to be that way. We have got to hold on tight. Another thing I like to share, interesting, is that if we find ourselves in a situation that is God really not there? Am I not really holding on to Him? God never lets go. Okay, let's
use that for a second. I'm going to change your battery.
Okay.
Just give me the pack of it.
Huh?
Just give me the pack.
Oh, here. We have technical difficulties, but that's okay. Testing? Okay. So, where was I, Lord? Bring me back. So, when we find out that our hand is not a hold of his hand. I want to remind myself and each and every one of you, he never left go. And the really great thing about that whole situation is he never withdrew his hand when I left go. We have got to say, Lord, I messed up. And it's like, well, Mike, grab a hold of my hand. That's what we need to do. Just take back hold of his hand, because he is not going to turn his back on me or you. He's not going to walk away from us. He is there to embrace.
Come on, preach it.
I'll let him preach.
Good.
He's doing
good.
A good job.
Come on, preach it. Good.
So, he restores. He leads me in paths of righteousness. So I have a hold of his hand. He is the leader, okay? He's the shepherd. Now, we do at times get out in front, but he's still the boss. Okay, we got to remember that. He is still the boss because he knows everything. Me, I think I know some things. But really, I know very little. What I do know is he knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't. And so he is the perfect person to be leading me. And it's going to be in the right paths. Is it going to be through maybe trials and tribulations in this world? Absolutely. This world, we will walk through things that we wish we didn't. But we have, and as long as we're on this earth breathing, the possibility exists that we will still yet walk through some difficult times. But he's there. He is not going to abandon us. Again, I've got a hold of his hand. He's got a hold of my hand. He's not letting go. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There is quite a bit in this one. And I'm excited to say that we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What is that? It's life. Life can be, as I said, life can be really ugly. It can be beautiful. There can be a lot of, and what we're in right now, I'm not talking politics, so don't anybody get, you know, cranked up about that. But just being in this world, in the United States right now, what we're seeing and experiencing, it's the valley of the shadow of death that we're walking through. Let's be real. It's real out there. It can even be real in here. In some churches, it got too real in several years past, where there was people that were unhinged. But walking through that valley of the shadow of death, the next phrase is, I will fear no evil. Why? Why do I fear no evil? How many times, and I've heard this, and I've actually heard a couple things. One of them was that it was like 365 times in the Bible it talks about don't fear, fear not. One for every day of the week, or, you know, every day of the year. I just don't know. I've heard other places say, no, that's not quite true. I do know this. There is enough of times in the Bible to tell us, don't fear, fear not. That we need to do exactly that. Lord, that's your problem. I refuse to fear. A number of years ago, I was in a season of fear. And it took a toll on my marriage. It took a toll on me. but God brought me through it. And in that, I learned through that, that I was being oppressed by the devil. And I actually had partnered up with the fear. I believed it. And this fear was that I was not going to make it to heaven. I was going to hell. I mean, I won't go into detail. All I know is that the last time that it really happened to me, I woke up in the middle of the night. My wife was sound asleep. And that fear was just like claws trying to dig into me. And it's like, God, God. And he just basically said, you can either accept it or reject it. Your choice. And I said, well, God, I'm not accepting it. That's not from you. Now, that seems simple, but does God really have to make it difficult for us to be able to partner up with him? He makes it simple. Literally, I just agreed with him that I was not going to fear. It left. I rolled over and went back to sleep. I had opportunities after that to fear. But to this day, I have been set free from fear. There's very little things that really will... I can say hardly anything that I'm afraid. I won't go into detail either, but I'm not afraid to die. I am not absolutely afraid to give up my life for him. He did it for me. He's taken me far enough that I am now willing to do what he wants. If it's to give my life, I'll give my life. If it brings him glory, we need to do whatever he wants us to do. For thou art with me. Why would we not be willing to do anything and everything? Because he's with us. So I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We've got to stop and think about scriptures when we read the word. What are you saying, God? What are you saying to me personally? Because what he's saying to me could be completely different from what he's saying to you. Because there's only a bazillion different things. That's how big God is. When I say extravagant, that's extravagant. But to me, that's just how big he is. That he can take this verse of scripture, and there could be a half a million things in there that he can teach us. I don't doubt that at all. He's just that big. So through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And it was interesting in the contemporary English version on that verse. And it says here, I may walk through valleys as dark as death, but I won't be afraid. You are with me, and your shepherd's rod makes me feel safe. And they explain the shepherd's rod. The Hebrew text mentions two subjects carried by the shepherd. A club to defend against wild animals, and a long pole to guide and control the sheep. Interesting. So the club he's not carrying for us. He's carrying it to protect us. But he does have a long stick, some say with a shepherd's crook, whatever. Yeah, I know I need it. It's like, Mike, back over here. Can you picture that? Can you picture God when you're getting a little off? Get back over here. He does it with love, but he's going to do it. He is going to do everything if we let him, to keep us in line with him, to keep us under his protection. So why do we fear? We don't need to, because he's there to protect us and to guide us. Verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Verse 5, the first part, is what I wanted to share with a while back, and it just didn't come. It just didn't happen that way. Thou preparest a table before me. Something that God showed me, actually sitting back in that section, it's been a few years ago, and it was that table. It was a large table, and again, put your imagination to work. Every single thing, money, health, healing, wisdom, you name it, it's on that table. And it's yours. And it's mine. He sets that table before each and every one of us. So what's on my table isn't for you, because you have your own table. He has that table prepared for each one of us. But he is a perfect, loving gentleman. He's not going to grab me by the collar and say, he doesn't do that. It is for our taking. We ask, and then we receive. If we don't receive, we don't get it. Now, no show of hands. But we have got to start taking what God is giving us. Why do we want to let on the table something that I so desperately need? I have a bill that I can't meet. Lord, I need finances. I have a health issue. Lord, I need healing. I have a situation that I need to make a decision on. I need wisdom. I have relationships. I have family issues. It's on the table, and it will take care of the need that we have. Are we willing to say, Lord, thank you? It's mine. We shared, I know Pastor Kurt, back in the spring, with our men's group, we were going through a book, and I just shared about this, and I used the word gluttony, and Pastor Steve kind of corrected me on that, and I appreciate that, but I still like to use that word. I don't care. Because, now gluttony, when you really, because I researched the word, and I thought, well, yeah, that's really not quite the right word, because God talks about gluttony, spirit of gluttony. But when you look at that table, and there's so much on there, but yet he put that on the table for me. He put that on the table for you. Why are we letting it on the table? We should be taking it all off. Now, here's where you take and drop the word gluttony and say, I'm now a giver. What you receive, freely give. If God's given you healing, go pray for somebody else. Go pray for their healing. If God's given you wisdom, go share that wisdom. If God's given you finances, go share that wealth. Jesse Duplantis, we just listened Wednesday to a teaching tape. Jesse has this statement I love, that I'm not a hoarding station, I'm a giving station. And that's my heart, is that I can be exactly like that. To me, that's like Jesus. Jesus didn't hoard. Jesus was given, man. He was a giver. He gave. And that's what we need to be doing, is giving. Thou anointest my head with oil. I read an article, and I couldn't find it, that, and if I'm wrong on this, I apologize, but in that, in sheep get their heads anointed with oil, and it's a protection over them, and it just is a blessing to them. With bugs and so forth like that there, it just kind of repels them, and it keeps them protected. But God wants to anoint our head with oil. Well, and really, you can equate this too. He wants to anoint us with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is, to me, the oil of God. That if we're willing to receive what God wants to give us, then we will be receiving the Holy Spirit. He wants to be in us, but He wants to work through us. Are we willing to say, God, use me? It can be scary. It's scary right now, standing up here. But it's like, I refuse to fear. Amen. I got a hold of His hand. Yeah. So I'm not being fearful. I refuse to fear. My cup runneth over. Now we're talking prosperity. Now we're talking blessings that are way more than what we're asking, thinking, or believing for. My cup runs over. That means He's given me more than what I can handle. That means, use your imagination. What does that mean? You answer that question yourself. To me, that means that I don't want to be a hoarding station. I want to be a giving station. I want to be so filled, running over, that I'm giving, I'm distributing, whatever. I've thought in times past, what's it like to be able to get the gospel out to the whole world? Jesus is not coming back until the whole world has been illuminated to the gospel. Do you have any idea the dollar figure of what that is? That is in the billions and billions of dollars. So if every believer says, you know, God, I'd like to participate. I want to help get the gospel out, do my part. I'm not going to do your part or your part or your part. I'm going to do my part. You guys do your part. But that takes a lot. If all of us together do that, then the gospel is out. And guess what? Then we get to go home. I'm not an escapism side issue for a moment. God, I heard this a few years back, and God kind of brought it up to me over a year or so ago. And in Genesis chapter 6, it talks about long life. He's promised us 120 years. Are we willing to go 120 years? This man of God, I heard say, God challenged him, and he gave God his yes. I'll go 120. If you need me and Jesus tarries, will you go 120? And I've told God, I will. So guys, I'm not dying. Especially if Jesus tarries, I'm going 120 years. Unless He calls me home. And then I'm out of here. He don't need to ask me twice. I'm out of here. But I refuse to go until He calls me. Because I have work to do. We each have work to do. So let's be busy. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. It doesn't say, I don't know about you guys, I've read that a lot of times in these last several weeks studying on this. Nowhere do I see the bad in this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But I will tell you, in real life, there is an adversary. There is an enemy out there that will hound you and me to try to get us off subject, off track, and off the word, that we do not complete the assignment we've been given. But goodness and mercy, I like to say it like this, it's like a hound dog. The Lord is hounding us, and he still has that shepherd's hook. Yeah, pull you back a little. Pull me back a little. I need to get back in line. That is what God's heart is to follow us all the days that we walk this earth until the day that we stand before him. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Have you thought what does heaven look like? I've heard a number of prophets and just men and women of God that have actually seen and experienced heaven. And I'm telling you what, I can't wait. I'm not in a hurry to get there. But man, what they have shared, and some people say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, don't. You're not going to offend me if you don't believe what somebody says they saw in heaven. I mean, especially if it's like extravagant. That's who God is. He's extravagant. You think he's going to have a shack and an outhouse for me? I mean, come on, let's get real. There's not going to be a shack. It's going to be a mansion for each and every one of us. We're going to dwell in, he got a big house. We think this world's big. We think Earth's big. You know, some of these other planets are much, much, much bigger than what planet Earth is. But heaven, how big is heaven? Don't ask me because I don't know. All I know is it's extravagant and it's big. And when we get there, it's eternity. We will be there with those that have gone on before us. And we may get there maybe before others coming behind us. But when we're together, in Psalms 91, and I think it might be the message, the very last portion of that, it's like God talks about being with us, and he's going to throw us a big party. It's like, well, that's just not, why not? Why is there not going to be a big party there? We're going to worship the one that gave his everything so we could be there. We're going to love on people that we never met. And I'm going to talk politics just for a brief second. God's word says, I would that none should perish, but that all should come to that saving knowledge of Christ. We're to pray for those in authority. Didn't say we have to agree with them. We're to pray for them. And my prayer is that those that I don't like, those that I despise, those a few years ago, it was like, sick them. Fire. No. Now, Lord, Jesus did the same for them as he did for me. I want to hug them in heaven. I want to scream shouts of joy and victory that we together can offer praise to the God we serve, the God that first loved us. One thing, God has taken me on a love walk, and I've been challenged that I challenged him, because I can't do it on myself. But I've told him, I says, God, I want to love like you. I don't know if that's humanly possible, but that's what I want to do, is I want to love like God. I want to love the way Jesus loves. Because I know in my heart, if I love the way he loves, there's going to be people that will encounter him that maybe would never have that opportunity if they did not see him. And really, if that's the way we're walking, then they will see him. And they will be awakened, and hopefully they make that right choice. The 23rd Psalm, again, it's just six verses. It's not a big chapter by any means. But take in your imagination, there's a wealth of information in there. And out of that is a lot that will bless, encourage, and I like to say, prosperity. Because God is not holding out on us. He's not holding back. Well, I shouldn't say holding out. He's not holding back from us. Table's in front of us. He's holding it for us. Are we willing to participate? Are we willing to receive everything he's put on the table? A couple scriptures just to bless and encourage. One of my favorites, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. When we're talking about the blessings of God, we have a part to play. Whether it's receiving, or whether it's using our own mouth to speak, are we speaking his word? When you speak his word, we're speaking truth. Then we're partnering with him and giving him access to do. In Mark 11, verse 23 and 24, this is in the modern English version. For truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you will have them. You guys know what the red letter edition of the Bible is? Red letter is that's the Jesus words. That's Jesus speaking. Well, that was in red. It's in black on my paper, but it was in red in the Bible. That was Jesus' words. In John chapter 14, verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. We have words to speak. We have authority given to us. Talk to myself. Don't mess up, Mike. Speak the right words so you get the right harvest. If we speak words that line up with the enemy, we have then kicked the door wide open for him to come in and wreak havoc. There's an easy fix. It's called repentance. Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. Close the door. It's closed. Start speaking words of life, words of victory, words of blessing, words of prosperity. In Romans 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, that is, God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that do not exist. We have the authority to speak things that don't exist. We're not God. I'm not saying nor implying that we're God, but we are His family. We're His son or His daughter. And we have authority to speak His truth. So something, an issue in my life, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Say it's a debt. Debt, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you're paid off. You are now no longer existent. You are gone. And God, you get all the credit and all the glory. Health, finances, relationships, whatever. We need to start talking. I'm not going to read this last one. I am going to give this to you to write down, to go back to it sometime. And, right here. In Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28 literally has 60-some verses. The first 14, the covenant blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, talking of the covenant blessing. Verse 15 to the end is everything about the curse. You open the door, here's what you can expect. So I'm not saying don't read the whole chapter, but read the first chapter and see what God has given to us. It's extravagant. That's who He is. That's what He is, and that's what He'll do for you. I have a song, and it's kind of, it's a rocky song.